bring some scriptures to our mind this morning that we've all heard many times. But so many times we hear preached, especially if you're listening to a radio, the hellfire and damnation side of the gospel. And there's no question but what those that don't believe in the Lord and don't keep His commandments are going to have to face that terrible judgment someday. And it is a fearful thing. And people should be warned of it in that manner somewhat, all right. But I want to read a little bit this morning of some of these beautiful things that Christ done while He was here, and some of the things that happened in the Scriptures. I want to start in Mark, in the 10th chapter, and beginning with the 13th verse. And they brought young children to Him, that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And we know that little children are innocent, and they're pure. And this is like the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So we've got to be pretty humble and pretty pure that we might be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And this 16th verse is something that's very, very precious to us. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. And there is a whole lesson in it right here in these few verses. He took them up in His arms and He blessed them. He laid His hands on them and blessed them. And we know we do this today. And we know that the reason for this is that they might be watched over and protected. And as I've mentioned many times, I have no question in my mind but what we have guardian angels. That each one of us have been watched over and blessed, and little children especially. They've been protected. And I know that as we've grown older, that we have been watched over and protected. I want to go over into to Nephi for a few verses here in 3rd Nephi. In the 8th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. Now, I just read of some of the things that He done over in Jerusalem, and here are some of the things that happened here on this continent. He'd been preaching to these people, and He had told them so many things that actually they hadn't been able to really realize what had happened. And he had told them to go to their homes and to ponder these things which He had told them. And He said then, But I go unto the Father. After He talked to these people, He was going to go unto the Father Himself. And also to show Myself unto the lost tribes of Israel. For they are not lost unto the Father, but He knoweth whether He hath taken them. Now this tells us quite a bit right here what was important to Him. Christ knew that it was important that He go tell the other lost tribes of the things that had taken place, so that they would be able to witness of these things, and that they would also be able to enjoy the blessings which He could give unto them. But He goes ahead and tells what happens in these next few verses. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus spoken, He cast His eyes round about again on the multitude, and beheld they were in tears. This would be quite a moving occasion, wouldn't it? And He did look steadfastly, and they did look steadfastly upon Him, as if they would ask Him to tarry a little longer with them. And He said unto them, Behold, My bowels are filled with compassion toward you. Have ye any that are sick among you, bring them hither. Now at this time, we can imagine an occasion like this. If Christ had been amongst us and had told us these things, it surely would move each one of us to tears when he was preparing to leave, wouldn't it? And Christ was touched by these things, and he was filled with compassion for these people, and he told them to bring their sick amongst him. Have ye any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or lepers, or that are withered, or that are deaf, or that are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren in Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. We find there in Mark that he was concerned for the little ones and he blessed them. Here, he was concerned for all the people and he healed them. Can we imagine a time like this? That he healed everyone, all the people. This would be a wonderful occasion that no one had any ailment, wouldn't it? And I'm sure that this could happen again, and I hope that it will. And it'd be wonderful if we could be there at the time that this took place, wouldn't it? But we do know that if this doesn't happen in our time, that the people amongst us aren't healed of their afflictions, that we all will have a reward if we've kept the commandments, and we'll be in heaven, and that we will have no afflictions there. I want to read some out of John here now. In the 11th chapter. I'll start with the first verse here. I won't read this whole reading, it's quite lengthy, but I will read some out of it, and I know that all of us have heard this story many times. It's the story of Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, if we had just heard this many verses, it would be impossible to tell what the Lord had in mind or what was going to happen. But in these next few verses, if we read all of them, we would find out that Lazarus did die. And he was buried. And Jesus hadn't come unto him. But then in a few verses later on here, beginning with about the 21st verse, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus had come unto him at this time, and when Martha seen him, she told him, if he'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come unto the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now this would still wouldn't indicate what was going to happen, but these people had faith in Christ, and they knew that at least that he would be resurrected in that last day. But let's go on down here, beginning within about the 33rd verse. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. Now, the strange part of it is, there was quite a few people there, apparently. Some of them believed in Christ, and some of them didn't. But they all was aware of the fact that Jesus cared for Lazarus. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? And the people that had seen these blessings of Christ believed that if he had been there, he could have caused Lazarus not to have died. Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now maybe at this time they began to see that maybe something was going to happen, something very great. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now that would be quite a moving occasion, wouldn't it? Many of the Jews believed, but if we read on here, we would find that there was many that didn't, and they went and told the priests of what had happened, and they sought after Christ to take him. Even when a great thing like this was done, they couldn't believe it. But here Lazarus, having been dead 4 days, there was no question in anyone's mind that he was dead, and he was brought back to life. This, the same type of thing as when the earth was created. He didn't bring him back to life a little at a time or something like this, but his life was given to him all at once. It didn't evolve no more than the earth evolved. Nor Adam evolved into life. But when Christ called him to come forth, and when he came forth, rest assured that he was whole and that he was alive in that very instant. Showing that Christ does have this great power, and that power would be here today and is here. And I have talked to people that have seen the dead raised. I don't know whether anyone here has ever seen it or not, but I have talked to people that have seen people that was pronounced dead, and there was no question but what they were dead, and they were raised again. And this has been within my lifespan. I don't know how long ago it's been, maybe 40, 50 years. But if it's pleased the Lord to do this again, he would be able to, if it was good in his sight, and if we had the faith to do, that it might be done. But this is just one of the occasions where Christ showed his great concern for the people and when he blessed them. Now I want to go over here into Ether. Our young people's class have just recently read these words. But as we recall the Tower of Babel, that the people were almost able to accomplish anything that they desired. And they became possessed with building a tower to heaven. And we know this wasn't the will of the Lord. So, in God's great plan, he confused or confounded their languages that they might not speak one with another. And I'll tell you that if this happened today, that none of us would converse one with another, you can imagine what confusion it would be. Or even if each family could just speak amongst themselves, they could get by a little bit, but they couldn't. I couldn't tell someone that I needed help, or they couldn't tell me that they needed help, and we couldn't do much for one for another. And this was very concerning to some of them. And we'll read what Christ done for one of the families. And this was the Jared and his brother. And Jared came forth with his brother and his families, with some others and their families, from the great tower at the time of the confounding of the languages of the people, and swear in his wrath that they should be scattered upon the face of the earth, and according to the word of the Lord, the people were scattered. And the brother of Jared, being a large and mighty man, and being a man highly favored of the Lord, for Jared his brother said unto him, cry unto the Lord that he will not confound us, that we may not understand our words. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord, and the Lord had compassion upon Jared. Therefore he did not confound the language of Jared, and Jared and his brother were not confounded. Now this just tells a little bit of what the Lord can do. Here those people could have been confounded, and they couldn't have understood each other, and it would have been very difficult to survive. But here was a man that was a man favored of the Lord, for he believed in the Lord, and he kept his commandments. And the Lord heard his prayers. We'll go over here to the 17th verse in this chapter. And the Lord told them what they should do, that they should gather their flocks and their seeds, and they was going to go down to the sea and so on. And when thou hast done this, thou shalt go down at the head of them into the valley which is northward. And there will I meet thee, and I will go before thee into a land which is choice above all the land of all the earth. And I will meet thee, and I will go before thee in a land which is choice. Imagine this. Above all the land of the earth. This is what he promised that he would do for them, because they were a people that feared the Lord and trusted him and kept his commandments. So this would tell us here in Mark, he blessed little children, and he raised Lazarus, and here, there was a pretty good-sized group of people. We would find, if we read this whole story, that wasn't confounded. They finally asked that their friends. Actually, if these people's lives weren't confounded, they had to be people of God that trusted in Him. And the Lord blessed them and their families. And they was able to cross the great deep and come to this land which was promised above all other lands. And was blessed. And here they came to live. Now, had they not been a faithful people, they wouldn't have been blessed like this. If they hadn't been a people that kept His commandments. But where people do keep His commandments, the Lord is willing to watch after them and take care of them. And if we strive with great enough diligence to keep His commandments, and if we do it, we can expect to be looked over just like these people were in the Scriptures. And this should give all the people that trust the Lord a lot of comfort. But it should also cause us to be quite concerned, realizing that if we don't do these things, that there's the other side of the coin, that it wouldn't be too good. And we know that the Lord is mighty to save, but Satan is mighty to destroy too. And we must continually strive to resist the devil. Because where we stand, or where we're awake, maybe 12, 14, 16 hours a day, Satan works day and night. And he'll enter into our dreams, he'll do anything in the world. But if we trust the Lord's going to give us the strength and we're going to be able to withstand the temptations of the devil. I want to go back into Mark again here for a few verses. In the fifth chapter, and this is another story where Christ was able to do a mighty work amongst the people and they were able to see it. This is a story where Christ had came over here near the seashore, and there was a man with an unclean spirit that actually he was a wild man. He ran hither and yon, crying out, cutting himself with stones and so on. And he was terribly troubled. The spirit of the devil had totally taken possession of him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. This man must have known of Jesus, didn't he? He came and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment not me." For he said unto him, "Come out," and this is Christ's words, "come out of this man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Can we imagine an occasion like this, that a man that had been, all you could describe him as was a wild man living in the hills. And all of a sudden, he was as normal as any of us. And this man wanted to go with Jesus and to follow with him. And here's what Jesus told him to do down here in the 19th verse. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee." Could you imagine that if this had happened at this day and time, and there was a wild man living out here, and we knew what type of person he was, and all of a sudden he came back home and was perfectly normal. What a marvelous thing this would be to the family and all those round about him. I can't really see how that all the people in Jerusalem couldn't have believed on Christ. But then we know of the goodness of the Lord and what he can do for us. But yet there's people nearby that if we told it to them, they wouldn't believe it. And they wouldn't accept it. But this is one of the wonderful things that Christ done while he was here upon this earth. And we know that these can also happen this very day. I want to go over into Acts. This is a story of a lady that had, we might say, been possessed. It was Lydia, and she had been a soothsayer, but she had turned and come into Christ. I'm going to read the 16, 17, and 18th verse out of this 16th chapter. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now this Lydia was possessed with a spirit that she could tell what was going to happen, and she could bring people much gain. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she say many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, come, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And if we would read on here, we would find that it didn't make her masters too happy, because Paul and Silas had done this, and we would find that they was cast into prison for it. But here, this lady was freed of this evil spirit, and this would be a pretty wonderful thing. And apparently she had knowledge enough to know what was going on around about her. She knew who these men were and their purpose. And she sought diligently after them. And this spirit was taken up out of her, and she was able to go about as a normal person again. And this would be a wonderful thing. One of the great things, another of the great things that Christ was able to do for the people. Now this Lydia wasn't possessed with any different spirit than this wild man in the hills. It was the same spirit. Now it was causing her to go in a different direction and do different things, but it was the same spirit. And that's what we've got to watch out for, is that evil spirit can enter in and guide us in a way that seems good for a while. And we've got to be aware of the fact that it can sure lead us astray, and it can cause our downfall. And even to many people, it would look like what we were doing was very good. But we've got to be aware of this, and to, if this spirit, evil spirit, does enter into us, we've got to know it, and we've got to have the power in ourselves to cast it off. And I often think of this story in Samuel, when Saul had went astray and was unable to call upon Christ anymore. He didn't feel that he'd call upon on the Lord. And what did he do? He went and turned to one with a familiar spirit. We've called her the Witch of Endor. I don't believe that was really the name of her. But this pretty well describes the whole situation. He went and sought this lady out that had this power to foretell the future. And he found her. And she brought forth a personage that appeared to be Samuel. I don't believe it was Samuel, but it accomplished the purpose that she had in mind. And we would, if we'd read the story there, we would find that in a short while after this, that Saul went into war and was killed. Had he have a few days before that, or months or years, had sought the Lord, when he needed some help, he could again turn unto the Lord. But what did he do? He turned to one that had a familiar spirit that could tell fortunes. And we find that this is happening this very day. People turn to that type of people because they want to know what's going to happen in the future. They have a great, we have a need to know, and they have a great desire to know. So instead of turning to the scriptures and praying to the Lord, they will turn to fortune tellers and try to find out the same things. And oftentimes they find out a lot. But just remember this, that whenever you're seeking after those people, you're putting yourself in a position to be led astray. And if you continue to seek after them, you will be led astray. Now, I always think of the one of the promises in the scripture. I won't read the 23rd Psalm, but all of us know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And most of you could go on from there and recite the whole 23rd Psalm. And it's a beautiful promise that's made to everyone. But the only way that we can avail ourselves of those many promises is to keep the commandments. And the wonderful things that he's promised that he'll do for us. And when we stand in need, he's going to stand right there with us and he's going to help us. And if I would ask you how many ways there was to go astray or to sin, we know in the scripture it told us that there's no limit to the ways a man can sin. There's not many things that's new, but there's no way to number the ways that a person can sin. But you know there's only one way to live righteously. There's only one, and that's to keep the commandments of the Lord. I want to read a little bit out of Matthew here in the 11th chapter. And again, this is verses that all of us have read. I think Marvin read them to us here just a few weeks ago, maybe before Christmas sometime. In the 11th chapter, in the 28th verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not perhaps or maybe, it's a promise. If we come unto him. And this means with full purpose of heart. This doesn't mean just a little bit on Sundays or Wednesday evenings, but it means all the time. And he will give us rest. "Take my yoke upon you." And we know that if we take his yoke, when we put a yoke, we cause things to go in one direction. That's why we put a yoke on an oxen, so we can keep them going in one direction and with one purpose, that they might pull a load and do a job or perform some task. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The reason it's light, it doesn't mean there's going to be trials and so on upon us, and that we're not going to have some trials. But he will give us comfort and direction and give us strength to bear up under whatever comes upon us. And we could go back to that first reading where they blessed little children. I think this is where it begins. When we can start out like this, you can go all through life and expect his blessings to be with us. But if we go astray, we can expect to end up just like Saul did. We might have a desire to seek after the Lord, and we wouldn't be aware that we could, or we would know that we couldn't because we hadn't been keeping the commandments. This is when people will go astray and seek after other things. But if we have kept those commandments, we know that his burden is light, and it will give us comfort.
Tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll have young people's meeting. At 8 o'clock, we'll be preaching. Turn to number 216. 216. This stand always safe.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this meeting, we desire to return our thanks unto thee once more for the privilege we have of meeting together to hear thy word discussed and that we may study thy word. And we thank thee for thy word that thou hast caused to be left here for our guidance, that when we study, it may help us to walk more uprightly before thee. Now we do pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go from here to our homes and abiding places, that thou would cause thy Spirit to go with us, to guide and direct us, and help us think upon thee and thy ways as we go about our daily walk of life. Now we do ask for thy dismissal, for thy blessing, in the name of Christ. Amen.